Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, we will discuss today, Thursday. I'm going to tell you what day it is first. Thursday, July 25th, 2013. And with it being Thursday, the first segment of the program will be Wendy Wilson, and she'll be telling you how to stay healthy. And after that, we'll be talking about Spain. We'll be talking about what does it take to be wealthy, and many, many other things. So make sure you stay tuned. First, we're going to give the market reports. I'm pleased with gold today. Had a little pressure on it in early morning trading, and we're currently looking at the spot last quoted up 970 at 1332. Silver was up 7 pennies today at 2032. Platinum was up a buck at 1451. And palladium was down 10 at $743. We did have a low of gold at 317 and a high as 1335. So it's what I expected to see gold do, trade in and around above this 1300 mark, and we'll see if it can make it through the end of the month above the 1300 level, and then I think it's coming into the end of August, September. I think we're certainly going to see some better prices in gold and silver. The USDX today down 50 at 81.77. That took a quick turnaround. It was up most of the day, just a little bit, and of course we saw the pressure on gold at that time, and last minute trading, we saw it down 0.50 at 81.77. Ooh. Crude oil today was up 37 points at 105.76. And my market report, which I get kidded about, I can never find my market report. That's because the computer deletes it. I don't know why it would delete it, but it just deletes it. Someone's on my computer deleting my items. Do you think so, Al?
It's a poor mechanic who blames her tools.
Hey, the Dow was up 13 points, 15,555. The NASDAQ was up 25 points at 3605. The S&P up 4 at 1690. And the 10-year yield is still 2.60. And so, interesting. Facebook, their earnings soared 30%, and we'll And so the NASDAQ was higher today. So it's interesting. You know, what I think is interesting now is all of these up days, they pinpoint it to one or two companies that is actually making the moves and keeping these numbers at these higher levels. So don't know what they're going to do after earnings seasons when they don't have that anymore. So, and they all lie about their earnings anyway. They're all there beating the street. Beating the street are just numbers that people make up. And I mean, it's really kind of funny, but
It's a little like reading tea leaves.
It's not funny.
It doesn't really tell you what the price of tea is, but you can read the leaves. And if you do a good job of reading the tea leaves, sometimes you can get paid for reading the tea leaves. But it still doesn't tell you what the price of tea is.
No. I'll tell you what, we shouldn't laugh at it, but I'll tell you what, folks who have their money and aren't doing anything because they see these higher levels in the paper markets, it's a dangerous game that you're playing. But we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. Let's introduce Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Good afternoon, Al. How you guys doing?
Hi, Wendy. Good.
Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Let's start the festivities with an article about the sun and skin cancer. Examining the truth, pseudo-truths, and lies of mainstream science. What do you think about, or what's your position on the relationship of sun to skin cancer? And do you have products or recommendations on how people can protect themselves, take advantage of the sun? What should they do?
Yeah, I think sun is like, you know, alcohol or anything like, you know, fattening desserts. You should use it in moderation. Don't overdo it, you know. I think sun therapy is healthy. Our eyes definitely need to get a little sun, not directly looking at the sun, of course, but it's very healthy for the macula and the retina of the eye to get some sun, and everybody wears, you know, shades and everything. And here's the thing, if you're wearing sunscreen and shades to protect your eyes and stuff, how are you going to know you've had enough exposure? You're not. You're going to be out there way too long, see? You know, it just common sense is what it is. You know,
you're suggesting that one of the indicators for whether you've had enough sun is not whether your skin is starting to turn red, but you can judge by how much sun is appropriate for you by means of exposure on your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, you get tired of squinting after a while, and that's time to go sit in the shade a little bit, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is what our ancestors did. You know, they worked in the early morning hours, the late afternoon hours when it was cool, and they just used intermittent exposure during the high of the day, or they had shade to work under during the high of the day. So, you know, we sunbathe, we go to tanning beds. I don't think that's all that great. I just think we overdo it, and if we overdo it, we're going to pay the price.
Are there any herbs or potions or whatever that may be helpful? Or is
you want to make sure you hydrate. You know, the skin is your largest organ, so you want to make sure you moisturize and you hydrate. Of course, you know, you don't want to go out there and sunbathe with no sunblock. You know, I would definitely use something. And, you know, hydrate. Another herb that's really good for the skin, though, is your calcium-rich herbs are excellent for the collagen of your skin to help it stay firm and have that elasticity that it needs so it doesn't sag. And it reduces your wrinkles. So, you know, I say, you know, avoid going under the knife. Just, you know, eat some vegetables that have the natural calcium base in there. So your green leafy vegetables, of course, your oranges are going to have that. And some of the herbs that have that perfect ratio that the body likes is horsetail, oat straw, comfrey, and lobelia.
All right. What about vitamin D? Is vitamin D an adequate substitute for sunlight? Is it a poor second choice, the best you can do? What do you think about vitamin D?
Well, if you can't get the natural source, definitely, you know, supplement with some vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, there's a lot of people affected by lack of sunlight. You know, they get that in the fall, the winter months, they get gloomy and they affective disorder where they're not getting enough sunlight, especially places like Alaska. So what you can do is in those seasons, you can get some broad-spectrum light bulbs at your hardware store. And these are the light bulbs that have a little bit of a blue tint or coating on them. And it just simulates light. And you can put them all throughout your workplace, your office, your home. And it just will perk up your mood, especially when, you know, the day starts to get shorter.
Then you won't need any coffee in the morning? Is that what happens? You just turn on a...
You go ahead and laugh.
Blue-tinted sunlight? I'm just snickering. There's a difference between...
My daughter, for a while when she was in high school, she had that affective mood disorder. And rather than do drugs and stuff, we did light bulbs, and it worked. She was just she calmed down, and she wasn't as depressed, and so she liked it a whole lot. So, and actually, everybody in the house feels a little bit perkier. So it's a better light bulb to have, the broad spectrum type.
So I just can't resist going along with this, extending this humor just a little bit further. Does this mean that if we use the broad spectrum light in the summertime, we might overdose on?
Oh no!
Get
no. Yeah, no, I mean you're not
get
gonna,
higher yeah, because, than we than is good for us.
Well, no, I mean because I have the light bulbs. I use them all year round, and of course you know the days are longer, so you're not usually turning on your lights until almost 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and then you're probably up for just a few hours before you go to bed anyway. So no, you're not getting too much exposure.
All right, let's move on and take another subject here. Here's a headline from wakeupworld.com, a pox on the CDC's vaccination agenda, the rise of herpes zoster, shingles. A new systematic review published on PLOS entitled Herpes Zoster Risk Reduction Through Exposure to Chickenpox Patients, a systematic multidisciplinary review, sounds catchy, got a catchy title, confirms that the widespread adoption of chickenpox vaccine over the past 30 years, which has resulted in a decline in chickenpox cases, has led to a concerning increase in the incidence of herpes zoster, shingles, a far more serious expression of the chickenpox virus.
Right.
So, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, Dr. Carly and I chatted about that because she's our vaccine, you know, expert, and she says, you know, any vaccine that has any pathogen in it, supposedly to protect you from that disease, will actually give you that disease. So, genetically, it's not going to protect you. It's not going to improve immune system function. It's just going to give you that disease and a whole lot more. And she says vaccines will compromise your weakest area of your constitution, your genetic weakest link. So that's why a lot of people who do get vaccinated may not always come down with autism. They may later come down with cancer or an autoimmune disease or, you know, MS. So that's her expertise. Answer, and I tend to agree with her because I used to work for a neurologist and I used to see a lot of this stuff. But yeah, you could get that chickenpox virus likes to. If you got chickenpox the natural way, and you get over it, that virus likes to sit dormant on the nervous system and it waits for that opportune moment when you're under extreme stress and duress to act up again, and usually that's in later life when you break out with shingles.
As if you don't have enough problems, all of a sudden you get shingles to remind you, guess what? Now you got even more.
Is it mainly a stress? Is it mainly a stress issue?
Because it likes to kind of hang out there on the nerves, you know, and when you do break out with shingles, it's painful nerve pain. It's really bad. So I would tell folks, you know, take your natural B vitamins, not synthetic, but natural Bs, because the nervous system operates on B vitamins. Take your immune-boosting herbs. You can also use some Nervine herbs to calm anxiety and stress levels so you don't have an outbreak. So there's things you can do, but if you've already gotten the shot or you've already had chicken pox when you were a kid, you pretty much got the virus there. So you just want to make sure the immune system contains it and your nervous system is healthy.
All right, then we can't get rid of the virus. Once we've got the virus, it's there and it's going to stay there. It's going to be with us for the balance of our lives, but it may not be active unless we go into a certain amount of stress. Is there anything we can do, herbal supplements, to reduce the stress or otherwise suppress that?
Right. If you want to take tension and stress off the nervous system, I like to use valerian root. It's best to use that in a liquid form rather than a tea or powdered tablet form. It just works more efficiently. And you don't need a whole lot of it. And it has natural calcium in it, which really calms you down. So calcium is one of those things that, you know, a lot of people take a glass of milk and go to bed, you know, they sleep better. Well, it's the natural calcium that helps with the neurotransmitters in your brain, and you get some sleep. So valerian root's very good. You can even layer that with a little lobelia, which takes tension out of muscles, because when we get all stressed out, our muscles get tense. So you can take those two because they work on separate systems. And, you know, just eat well. Exercise is another way to help, you know, diffuse stress. Ground some of that electrical energy that you naturally have in your body. Take your shoes off, you know, rub your feet in the grass a little bit there. Walk on the beach and just ground some of that stressful energy in your body. But I have a question for you, Al, if we got time.
Oh, now you're going to turn the tables, and now I have to answer a question. It's always a lot easier to ask the questions than it is to answer them, but go ahead. I'll take a shot.
Have you heard about the new medical microchips that dissolve inside your body after they've accomplished their task?
No, I haven't heard of anything like that.
Oh, it's a new study that was published recently in this Journal of Science. Transient electronics, dissolvable electronics, and what they do is they're coded to do their respective tasks. And then what they do is they use the silkworm, the product, the layer of silk from the silkworm, to coat the electronic. And depending on what the task is and how long it will take to do the task, the layer of coating may be thicker so that it doesn't dissolve as quickly. It gets the task done. These are being tested in the last several days to even weeks, depending on the microchip that you have. They've even tested it on electronic tattoos, where they've kind of inserted these little embedded dissolvable chips underneath the skin. And CBS actually did a report on that. And they're testing it. They say, of course, the chips are going to be for heart and brain patients to help prevent heart attacks, strokes, and seizures. But, you know, where could this go, Al? Can we imagine?
Oh, I can. I mean, it's just creepy. You're not just talking about chips that you ingest as if you were eating food. You're talking about chips that are inserted under your skin, injected under your skin, or implanted maybe with an operation. I'm not sure how big these chips are, but then they
They're
sit
tiny.
There until they dissolve.
Right. Well, and they dissolve into oblivion, actually. So it's like, you know, you could make all the allegations and claims you want, but there'll be no footprint, right? And the other thing that's really creepy that Dr. Carly brought up was they have special syringes now for the flu shots that have chips in the tip of the needle. So it's not really in the vaccine, it's in the applicator.
I can remember when I used to enjoy Chips Ahoy when I was younger. They had chocolate chips in the cookies, but now we're getting different kinds of chips to go along with our flu shot. I guess Flu Ahoy, perhaps we should have Flu Chips Ahoy or whatever. I'm not sure where we can go with this. We're about out of time. Andy, why don't you give people a contact information where they can take a look at your website and how they can reach you?
Oh, sure. They can visit us at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. They can call toll-free and get a free product catalog from us at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, if they visit the website, they can sign up for the American Survival Newsletter, which you and Melanie and I and several other people write for. So sign up and get empowered.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much for being on the program with us again. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pam. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here at Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Our phone number is 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And what you got for folks today, Melody?
Well, we're going to continue the special. Any gold coin that is purchased, you will receive a book of Michael Snyder that Alfred interviewed on Tuesday. So it's the beginning. The book is titled The Beginning of the End. I believe it's a novel.
Yep.
But it might also be a good book for those who are so resistant to learning the truth, you know, and if they still read, it might be a good way to where they could make comparisons maybe with what's happening in reality today.
People have said that the American people are the most entertained and least informed in the world.
Yes.
And what Michael Snyder's attempted to do with this book is to communicate some fundamental principles about the economy and consequences of some of these, you know, violating fundamental principles and so on. He's tried to communicate it in the form of a novel. And it's the sort of thing that can be a great introduction for people who don't intend to get a degree in economics, but nevertheless would like to see some practical applications. It's both informative and entertaining. So if you've got a spouse or a parent or a child that you think needs an introduction to what may be coming in the economic system, this is a good opportunity. The Beginning of the End by Michael Snyder.
So any gold coin, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if you folks have any questions for today's program, if you'd like to email them to us, you can do so at questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And visit our website, dgscoins.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Wendy mentioned it. You can sign up at both places. I have a question for you, Al. A lot of questions to you today, Al.
All right.
What do you think it takes to be wealthy? What do you think most Americans, those that have some money, makes them feel wealthy? How much money do you think they have that makes them feel wealthy?
I think it's a subjective. I think the answer is subjective. I think a lot of people, you know, if you've got $1 billion, I would say you're probably feeling pretty wealthy. There's a lot of people who think they have $1 million, they're wealthy. You know, $1 million is comfortable in its own way. I'm not sure that it really, you know, to be a millionaire today is not the same thing as it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, being a millionaire, that was something special. Today, it's not that big a deal. I think, however, you know, some people, if I have more money than the guy across the street, maybe that's enough to make me feel wealthy. If I have more money than I did when I went through my first divorce, that makes me feel kind of wealthy. May be that if you just have more money than your parents did, right? And you live at a higher standard of living, you got to feel good about yourself if you're doing better than you have come up. Mom and Dad were making, who knows, 100 grand a year, you're making 150, 200,000. You have a higher standard of living than your parents. That may be enough to make you feel wealthy, but it's a subjective.
Well, the survey says 70% of those with at least $1 million in assets that are invested or available to invest, and that's excluding home values, they don't consider themselves to be wealthy. Mm-hmm. And this was a survey according to 4,500 investors by UBS. It's only when they hit the $5 million mark that makes millionaires feel wealthy. And they feel at the level which most people feel they have no constraints or activities. That's what they feel at the $5 million level. No restraints, no constraints or activities.
Well, do you think they are really beyond constraints? I think they mean they're not. They don't feel financially threatened when they have.
They can pretty much do whatever they want. I mean, they have enough money to make it more money, and they don't. You know, if they lose money. But what's interesting about these folks is they said holding a significant amount of cash was a critical component of their confidence, of investor confidence. They believe
on one
that
level, I kind of agree with that, because I don't agree with it entirely, but I agree with it in this regard. If you're really wealthy, if you think you're wealthy, one of the questions has to be, in terms of what? It's one thing to have $1 million. It's another thing to have, I'm not sure what that would translate out into, but say 1,000 ounces of gold. There is real wealth and there's illusory wealth. A lot of people who think they're wealthy right now, oh, hooray, I've got $5 million, I'm wealthy. We'll watch and see about that. Day is coming where if you're storing your wealth in the form of paper debt instruments, regardless of whether it's stocks or bonds or a pension fund or even paper dollars, I believe the day is coming when you're going to say, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking of? I thought I was wealthy. In fact, all I had were a bunch of IOUs. I didn't have real wealth. You know, again, this gets to that subjective element. What is real wealth? It's one thing to feel wealthy. I mean, there's people who do crack who probably feel wealthy while they're in the midst of their high. Their sense of well-being and wealth is, in some regards, illusory in the same sense that having a stack of paper dollars is an illusory high. So, you know, what's it take to be wealthy for me?
Well, I'll tell you what, Al. The whole point I brought this up was $5 million. You said it before. $1 million today is not what it was when we were children or when you were children. But if you would take that $1 million and bought gold at that point in time, you would have $4 million today.
Right.
So you'd be able to keep your wealth.
You'd
and that $5 million The reason they need the $5 million is just to show how worthless our dollars have become.
True.
That's the whole point.
That's a good point.
That's the whole point.
The fact that they don't, they're millionaire doesn't make it anymore. What does that tell you? Does it tell us that we've become increasingly greedy? Now we have to have at least $5 million before we feel truly wealthy? Is it about $5 million, or is it evidence that the dollar has simply lost 80% of its value? You know, there was a time when $1 million was a lot. Now $5 million to match up to it. That indicates the dollar is going down. And it gives us, it helps us chart the future. We have a trajectory here. The dollar's gone from where $1 million was made you wealthy. Now you need $5 million. How much will you need 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or whatever? Odds are it's going to be more than $5 million. It might be, you know, $10 million. Who knows? Which means dollars are going down. And the lesson there is, if you want to feel wealthy, one of the things you're going to want to do is you're going to want to keep some of your wealth, a significant portion of your wealth, in something tangible like gold or silver. Huh? The dollars are not, they're not really the smartest move you can make. And you're talking about these wealthy people, and you mentioned them again. They don't feel wealthy unless they've got a bunch of cash around. I guarantee you the day is coming when they're going to find out it's like having a bunch of Zimbabwean dollars. You know, how wealthy do you feel if you've got a bunch of Zimbabwean dollars and they're depreciating at, who knows, 1,000%, 10,000% a day? You got to scout Zimbabwean dollars in the morning, you got to spend them as fast as you can, because by afternoon they'll be worth only, who knows, a tenth of what they were worth in the morning. So.
And it's true. You get to the $5 million, you can lose $3 million. You still have two left. And that is, they're confident with what they got. A majority of the respondents were optimistic about the economy and their personal financial situations. They don't care what the Federal Reserves do. They don't care what Bernanke does and any of that investment strategy from the Fed. They just don't care.
I get it.
Yeah.
So. I get it. Well, and more power to them, I guess. Yeah.
But the whole point was they better hope
that this doesn't go south, that the dollar doesn't go south and gold goes up, because if it does, they will care.
Uh-huh. And we're going to be talking about Spain.
Yep, Spain is interesting. A lot of people think our government is crazy. I mean, we can point to all kinds of interesting things that are perpetrated by our politicians and by the police and by government officials. I saw a report recently where they're going after some guy, a magician, in Florida. The feds are after him for getting a permit to take care of the rabbit he uses that comes out of his hat. He's got to get some permit for the rabbit, and he's got to have some sort of a program set up to guarantee that the rabbit will be taken care of in the event that there's a problem with the magician. And the whole thing is just nutty. I'm thinking that if he's a real magician, he should be able to make a permit appear out of his hat. But for the moment, the government is insisting they get one from them. Well, it's evidence of the kind of nuts, the kind of craziness that takes place in this society right now. But Spain has really done a good one. Here's headline from El País, European newspaper. Spain privatizes the sun. Multi-million-dollar penalties for collecting sunlight. If you get caught, and I'm reading from an article that was translated from Spanish to English by computers, and therefore this, some of the language here is a little bit, you know, it's makes sense. The computer may not precisely make sense, but it says if you get caught collecting photons of sunlight for your own use, you can drop a fine not exceeding 30 million. They're talking about 30 million euros. All right. And this is apparently applying to people who want to use solar collection panels. You know, you put them up on your roof and you collect solar energy and it turns it into electricity and charges the batteries and whatever. If you do that in Spain, according to this article, they are going to fine you. Spain has effectively, the government of Spain has claimed ownership of the light emanating from the sun. And if you try to get off their electrical grid in Spain by using solar collectors, guess what? They're going to fine you for taking the government's sunlight. Well, I look at that and I'm just saying to myself, you know, there is obviously no IQ requirement to become a legislator. Not in Spain, not in this country. You can be as dumb as a box of rocks, and if you're likable, sufficiently likable, you can get elected, and you can do all kinds of idiot things in your legislatures. But I'm not sure if that should give us confidence. Melody, do you feel more confident knowing that our government may not be the craziest one in the world?
Well, you know, I think as times get tougher and tougher, they're going to start nationalizing a lot of things. And certainly, you know, when you have people trying to go off the grid and create their own electricity, that does put a damper into a lot of things. But I can't imagine that there's enough people in the world or even in Spain or here in the States that uses that much solar power. But
apparently the energy system in Spain is run by the government. I mean, it's not, again, the article is translated from Spanish into English by computers, and it's a little bit rusty, a little bit obscure in places. But it appears that the Spanish government collects money by providing electricity, and they want their captive audience. And if you try to go generate your own electricity and cut the Spanish government out of the money loop, they will fine you mightily. They will smite you with a fine. Similar things happen in this country. All about the money. And we have governments that think they're the most important thing in the world. They can't imagine that we should be able to operate without maximum government regulation and maximum government fines, fees, taxes, and so on. Whole thing is nuts. Can't last. Can't hold together forever. Although it may get worse.
Well, another one they're going to go after is water.
Oh, I understand. They want. I mean, I've talked to farmers. They have wells on their property that the government has gone out and put a meter on the well to assess how much water the farmer is pulling out of the aquifer, and the well may have been there for 50, 60, 100 years. The government is now going to tax that water. And they're going to give you a bill based on however much water you are pumping out of the ground that you own. And some of this you can see. There are limited water supplies. I mean, it's not as if this is completely irrational, but government does things, and they will take objectives that are perhaps rational and reasonable. Well, you know they're going to run it to the point where it becomes irrational. Instead of protecting the water supply and managing the water supply, they just want to see how much money they can make while they're exhausting the money supply. And when that's gone, they'll figure another way to make more money for more government. And we the people put up with it to a degree that is hard to understand. It strikes me as irrational. What else do we have, Melody?
We're going to be heading into a break here in just a moment. We have a question coming in about how much gold a person needs to have in their portfolio, so we can start that after the break.
It's fine with me. We can. We have about 40, 50 seconds left to go here. Frank, shall I sing, or would you like to start the music? Aha! Frank has heard me sing. He's not going to take a chance. It would ruin the program if I'm caught singing. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Country. countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, did you say you had a question or something?
Yeah, we do have a question. And this is in from, let me pull it up here, Susan M. She says, dear Melody, she says, I have about $220,000. Some of it's in the bank. Some of it's in a 401k through our work. And she also owns quite a bit of real estate. What percentage of her money would we recommend that she has in gold or silver and why?
And well, I would okay. Do you want to start or you want me to?
Well, you know, we recommend a minimum of 20%, and that 20% is usually in great economies. I believe my example is you insure your assets, so I believe you need to have an equal amount of gold as your assets. So if you have, and my example is, if you have a home that's valued at $100,000, you insure it for $100,000, and I think your assets should be the same. So I believe you should have equal amounts for the balance. I'm all
You're
about
talking
balance.
50-50.
50-50, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I believe in balance. The world is, we need to be in balance. And you do the same thing with your portfolio. Even if you have your other assets. I mean, you can diversify if you want, but just make sure you have it insured. I mean, I know a lot of folks that are very heavy in shares, and they have very little gold. There's people out there that say, oh, they say the right talk, they talk the talk, but they tell you to have 5% in physical gold. My comment to that is, what's the point? So you have to have enough gold in your portfolio to insure your other investment assets.
Well, from my perspective, I would look at it, I have a more simplistic view. And I would talk to Susan M. and say, well, how much of the $220,000 can you afford to lose? And that would be the part I keep in the 401k and the cash
exactly.
And the bonds and whatever else is paper. Whatever you can afford to lose, keep that in paper. And whatever you can't afford to lose, put it into gold and silver. And I remain convinced, and optimistic that we are going to see. Now I believe we've seen the end of the decline in gold that's lasted for the last nearly 2 years. I think it's over. I think gold is heading back up, and we'll get to the reasons for that perhaps before we get to the program, before we get to the end of the program today. If not, we'll get to it tomorrow. It's just going to rise. It just, for me, I'm not given the gift of prophecy. I can't tell you for an absolute fact what's going to happen, but it seems so obvious to me. Gold is going to go up, and then it's going to go up, and then it's going to go up. And those of you that are hanging on to your paper debt instruments, your anything denominated in paper, I believe you're going to lose your assets. So how much should you have in gold? Well, put whatever you can't afford to lose, put that into gold. And the rest of it, whatever you can afford to lose, you can't afford to lose, you can afford. It's like being in Las Vegas. You're making a bet when you're holding on to those pieces of paper. Huh? And you may win. You may be the guy who bets on double zero on the roulette wheel and you get a nice payoff at Las Vegas. And you may also be the guy who bet on 7 or 9 or, 42 and you lose. Odds are you're going to lose if you stick with paper. So what else?
And make sure that you don't have some sort of a gold paper instrument thinking you have gold.
Yeah.
Take physical delivery. And I know a lot of folks out there do. There's a lot of different gold products out there. And you can have it shipped over shore. You can do this. You can do that. And you all know my opinion on that. Mm-hmm. You only own it if you hold it in your personal possession. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have $5 million and you want to have some here in the States and you want to have some over, you have plenty of money in order to diversify that. You can cover any risk that you have for loss. But for the most of you listeners, take physical delivery of your product. I do sell IRA accounts, which the metal is stored in the Delaware depository. There's dealers out there that are creating their own depositories, that they're creating their own storage. Folks, you got to be so careful in these markets today, because you really don't know who you're dealing with. And you do want to do things very legitimately. You want to make sure that if you do go into an IRA, you want to make sure that you get the regular product. You don't need proofs. You just get the bullion coins or the bullion or your silver and your gold, and you want it stored in an approved depository, not something that has been made up after the fact or somebody tells you that you can take physical delivery of your coins and keep the IRA, because one of these days you might have to confront and you might have to defend your position. So, and it might cost you lots and lots of dollars. So
now you're talking about costing lots and lots of dollars. If you were to establish your own IRA, and I'm not even sure if that's possible, but you are, instead of, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're telling us that the IRA, if you're going to do a gold-based IRA, the gold has to be stored in someone else's depository, somewhere recognized depository other than your own backyard, your own safe, wherever. Is that what am I understanding correctly?
You're absolutely correct. But
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I
would not touch it with a 10-foot pole. For me, I'll squirrel the stuff away someplace. I'll bury it out.
No. I'm talking about those who have the gold IRAs. And they're being told that they can take physical delivery of it and still get the benefits of the IRA.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes. No, if you're going to go with the IRA, then there's risks involved. And we always say the least amount of risk is taking physical delivery. With that said, there's lots of folks out there who do have IRAs. And I believe having a gold IRA is much better than having an IRA with paper. You have to look at the risk.
All right, I agree. I give you that. The gold is
better than
the paper.
Well, I know you're going to give me that because I know what the hell I'm talking about. So if you do decide to get an IRA, you have to make sure you follow those guidelines. And don't think there's a program out there that's going to offer you an IRA, government approved, and that you can take physical delivery of it. Be so very careful. because one of these days you're going to have the IRS knocking on your door, and then you're going to have to, you know, defend yourself, and it's going to cost you tons and tons of money, and possibly even your investments. So be
now,
very...
but you're saying they come knocking on the door based on your having an IRA that you may have mismanaged. You're not suggesting that they come knocking on your door because you've just put some gold coins in a kind of can out in the backyard.
Because you mismanaged.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the reason for putting your gold in someone else's depository is in part, if you're doing it locally, it's because you're concerned about thieves breaking into your home, and that's a legitimate concern. If you're doing it internationally, you got your gold squirreled away in, who knows, some foreign country. All right, Switzerland. Right? You've got your gold squirreled away in Switzerland. The reason you do that is because you don't trust the United States government. You're concerned that if you keep your gold at your home or even in a domestic, a United States depository, that the government will seize it. What this, for me, if our government comes out and attempts to seize gold, and I don't expect them to do that, all right? I don't think that's going to happen. They could do it before because gold was recognized as money. What's the basis for seizing it now? They have no more basis for seizing gold than they do for seizing pork bellies or frozen concentrated orange juice. It's outright theft. They can't justify it easily, which is not to say they won't do it, but they can't justify it. If our government were to seize gold, I am unable to understand why other governments around the world wouldn't follow suit. And if your gold is squirreled away overseas someplace, if you think it's a problem defending your gold in this country, wait until you are called on to defend it, your ownership and possession, in a foreign country. You don't stand a snowball's chance. These are difficult times. Or at least it appears that we're approaching difficult times. And what that means is there is necessarily risk involved and responsibility involved. And there's not going to be one absolutely guaranteed foolproof solution that you can rely on to protect you in all circumstances. So you got to balance this out. Where do you think? From my perspective, it's the backyard. It's the it's the woods. It's someplace. It's the attic. It's under the slab of the house, the concrete slab of the house. You've got to find a way to keep this close at hand, at least a substantial amount.
You know what? To some degree, the government is confiscating right now. If you look at the way they rigged the gold market, they are keeping people away from gold without actually confiscating it.
Mm-hmm.
And only a very small people, maybe up to 1%. It's always been a little less than 1%, maybe 1% of people who were smart enough to own gold in these markets. And, it is going to be like 33. You're right. Not that many people own it. We don't need the whole investing population to come into gold. When we hit that last phase of the cycle of the bull market in gold, we don't need 50% of the investment population. We need 5 to 10, which is a given. So,
and you'll see the price of gold jump.
Exactly.
All right, you'll see it move like, talk about the phoenix, you know, rising up of the ashes and so on. We could, again, can't give you prophecy, but it seems abundantly true. All the fundamentals are still there. Points to gold has to go up. What else do we have, Melody?
Oh, wanted to talk about gold. Since we're on the topic of gold, we only have 6 minutes, 5 minutes left. What about gold 8,000?
Well, that's which I'm not sure which article you're looking at right now. I think who was making the prediction of $8,000 gold?
I believe the name was Jim Rickards.
Right. He goes higher than that. It depends on his calculations. He's calculating what the price of gold should be if you take the U.S. M1 money supply with 40% gold backing. Right now, gold should be $2,500, almost $2,600 per ounce. That's just, if you take how much currency is out in M1 and you only require 40% backing for that currency, 40% in gold, then the price just to back the M1 would be $2,600 per ounce. If you go M0 money supply with 40% backing, the price would be about $3,300 per ounce. If you go M1 money supply with 100% gold backing, he's predicting $6,500 an ounce. And it moves up until you get to U.S., China, European Central Bank, M2 money supply with 100% gold backing. In other words, if the whole world essentially goes back to a gold-based monetary system, he's saying right now the legitimate price would be over $44,000 per ounce. And this is information that's provided by ranting Andy Hoffman, who writes for, oh, I can't remember. I should be able to, but I can't. Newsletter that he writes for, and he's collected this up. And he goes out, and he's done some of his own calculations earlier. And based on how many million ounces our government claims to have, they claim to have 261 million ounces. Well, if that's true, given the monetary base of $3.3 trillion, it works out to $12,600 per ounce. But Andy Hoffman sits back and he says, wait a second, I don't think the Fed actually has the 261 million ounces that it claims to have. They've claimed to have this, but we haven't had a legitimate audit in over 50 years. No one really knows, and there is lots of reason to suppose that the central bank, the Federal Reserve, and the government has been secretly selling off the gold in order to suppress the price. Andy Hoffman thinks that a conservative estimate of how much gold is really left in the U.S. depository is about 100 million ounces. Not 261 million ounces, 100. Under those circumstances, the price of gold right now would be about $33,000 per ounce. Take the amount of money that's out, divided by the amount of ounces of gold that the government has, and you wind up with $33,000 per ounce. Now, these are numbers he came up with on his own. They are in the same ballpark of Jim Rickards, who came up with a possible $44,000 per ounce price. I'm not telling you that the price of gold is going to go to that number. We understand that, you know, there are a lot of things involved. I do not anticipate seeing $40,000 gold anytime soon, probably not in my lifetime. I'm not saying that, but these are credible people, and they are making persuasive mathematical arguments. And they are telling us, okay, it may not go to $44,000, but 5,000 isn't out of range. 10,000 isn't unreasonable. It's 15, maybe even 20,000. Not impossible. These are credible possibilities. I'm not saying they're going to happen, but they are credible possibilities. And even if they don't, that gold is going to go up significantly. It will certainly protect whatever wealth you have. We've had 21 months now, difficult time in the last 21 months. And we're going to run out of time before we can get to it today. We are about out of time. We'll talk tomorrow about why I think that 21-month period is over, why it happened in the first place, and what it means to the price of gold in the very near future. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.